Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, my Savior. Nothing but the blood of the Lamb of God. What hast thou to say? What can wash my sin away?
Thank you, Charlotte. Appreciate it. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5. We're back to that scripture, that text, again this morning. Find that page in the scripture. And again, if you're getting familiar with your Bible, toward the end of your New Testament, okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And find that. We're just going to read one verse as we go through these simple commands, directives given by Paul to the church at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and since we're just reading one verse, we won't stand today. We'll just remain seated, and let's read together verse number 17, okay? We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 17. Ready? Pray without ceasing, okay? Can you say that without looking at it? Pray without ceasing. See, you're good at memorizing Scripture, amen? Just like last week. Remember the verse from last week? Rejoice evermore. Man, you're cutting, you're nailing it. Amen. Two in a row. I want to speak to you this morning on one of the great privileges of prayer. One of the great privileges of prayer. Let's ask the Lord's help. Father, our hearts have been blessed today. My goodness, the music. Maybe people don't understand how important it is to our being. You created music. Heaven's going to be all about music, singing, and lifting up loud voices and rejoicing together. And wonderful to sing about grace this morning. Wonderful to sing about loving Jesus. Wonderful to sing about the fact that He's a wonderful Savior. Wonderful to hear song, dear God, about the blood of Christ. Wonderful to hear a song from the choir about seeing Jesus. Oh, what a moment. So, Lord, it's been good. And now we come to Your Word. And I pray that You'll bless it to our hearing. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of Your law. Lord, give us a teachable spirit. Help us to receive Your Word today with meekness, humility of mind. Lord, so that it can make a difference in our lives. Help me as I preach. May I know Your Spirit's fullness, help and blessing. I ask it in Christ's name. And amen. The less someone has to say about something usually means what he is saying is important. You know, he's thought his words out carefully, and he has measured what he wants to say, and it is to the point and full of purpose. You take someone who is just kind of filling time with words, and usually there's not a lot of depth to what they are saying. I was at football camp Friday. The cell phone rang. I looked down and it said, Joe Finn's cell. We were still in service, okay, and so I couldn't answer my phone in the service, and I normally don't have my phone with me. So after the service was over, I called Brother Finn, and he started talking, and I could tell that he was on medication, and he talked, and that's not Joe Finn. You ever talk to Joe Finn? It's short, it's to the point. And he just talked, and, well, Brother Terry Ryan, and he talked, and he said, I thought we were done, and he talked some more, and I got to get to a meeting, and finally I said, Brother Joe, I got to go. And so, but I could tell he was under the influence. He was feeling good, amen, and talking. But anyway, you look at this section of 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning with verse 16, and you see these short verses, short yet important directives, important commands that Paul gave to this church. And last week we looked at verse number 16, rejoice evermore, rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in your salvation, rejoice in the rejoicing of others. Somewhere there's a reason to rejoice. Somewhere there's a reason to rejoice. So today we're going to be in verse number 17. Now, there is so much said about prayer in the Bible. There is so much that Paul could have said at the end of the letter about prayer, but the Holy Ghost simply had Paul write three words. Pray without ceasing. That's it. Now, our attitude toward things is so very vital, and our attitude toward what Paul said here is no exception. We've got to approach it with the right spirit, the right attitude. You heard the story about the two shoe salesmen who got on the plane and flew to a place to sell shoes. They didn't know each other, and neither of them knew the other one was there. They landed, they spent a day there. Both of them cabled a telegram back home. Salesman number one said, nobody here wears shoes. I am returning home tomorrow. Salesman number two wrote, cabled back, no one here wears shoes. Send more shoes ASAP. That's two different attitudes, isn't it? Two different perspectives entirely on the same situation. Now, you come to this verse, and you can have the attitude of, you mean we have to pray all the time? Or you can have the attitude, you mean we can pray all the time? That's two different perspectives. And somebody else can come with a negative approach to the verse, a negative attitude, and read this verse, pray without ceasing, and say, there's no way I can pray 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And you know what, church? That's true. Because sometimes our minds are engaged in concentrating on the task at hand. We are locked into the moment, if you will, and we're not able to carry on a conversation or a communication with God, either verbally or in our spirit, because it's all hands on deck to the moment that what's happening in that very moment. But rather than just say, they can't even do that, and walk away from it and ignore it, we should want to learn what we can about this simple, short command. Pray without ceasing. And squeeze all we can out of it. So I'm going to break it down this morning. It's not difficult. Say a couple things at the end. Look at it. The first word is simply this. Pray. Now, I don't mean to insult anybody's knowledge or lack of knowledge. I'm just asking a question this morning. If you were asked to define the word pray, could you do it? What does pray mean? I'm talking about that four-letter word, pray. Okay? It's interesting when you go to your Bible and learn what the word pray means according to Scripture. Now, the first nine times the word pray is used in the Bible is in conversation between two people. Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 13, Abraham says to Sarah, his wife, say, I pray thee, thou art my sister. And then when you get to chapter 13 and verse number 18, Abraham says to his nephew Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee. So when you read those verses in the first nine verses where the word pray is used in the Bible, you see that the word pray is used as a synonym for the word ask or beseech. And if you go to a thesaurus, you can do that, either in your library or on your computer. You go to the thesaurus and you type in the word pray. You know what the first two synonyms are that come up? Ask and beseech. So the word pray means to ask. When you come to Genesis chapter 20, you see the word pray used in a conversation where Abraham was talking to God, or about Abraham talking to God. Chapter 20, verse 17 says, Abraham prayed unto God. He asked God. He besought God. And church, that is the basic definition of what pray means. The word means ask. It means beseech. The greatest, one of the greatest man-written books on the subject of prayer is John Rice's book, and it is entitled, Prayer is Asking. Prayer is Asking. Now look, I understand that you know you read your Bible, there are other kinds and forms of communicating with God. You'll read in your Bible where people were making supplication to God. Supplication is strong, intense crying. Most of us have been in a moment like that, where you're not just asking God, hey, God, would you be willing? You're begging, you're beseeching, you're crying out. Intense. Then there's the word intercessions. Intercession is praying on behalf of someone else. Intercession is not me asking for me. Intercession is me asking for my wife, me asking for my children, me asking for somebody else. That's what intercession is. Then there's praise, lifting up and extolling the God of heaven. That's a part of prayer. There's thanksgiving, which is expressing gratitude to God. All of these terms come under the big umbrella of prayer. But the basic definition of pray means to ask. It's not always asking for things. It could be asking God about all kinds of things, but that's what pray means. In Webster's 1828 dictionary, the first definition given. You know how Webster's dictionaries are. They give several definitions to the same word. In Webster's 1828, the first definition says to ask with earnestness or zeal. So Paul is closing the letter to the church, and he zips off these important commands. He's doing so as he's directed and led by the Spirit of God. Just a few words. And he says to this church, pray, ask, beseech, without seeking. That's what pray means. Ask, beseech, without ceasing. Now that's the next word I want to talk about for a little bit. Is the word ceasing. I don't think we have to have an English class on that. It means stopping, ending, desisting. So Paul says, pray without stopping. Ask without ending. Ask, beseech without desisting. Now, church, listen. Four other places in the New Testament, Paul uses the phrase without ceasing. All four times, it's used about prayer. All four times. Without ceasing, without ceasing, without ceasing, without ceasing. Listen, if God says something once in the Bible, it's important. If He repeats something four times, five times, it probably takes on a little added importance. So five times, total, New Testament, Paul uses the words without ceasing, talking about this matter of prayer. Now, you say, okay, I don't get it, because there had to be times when Paul was preaching or he was talking to others. How could Paul pray without ceasing? That's a fair question. And you don't just walk away from it and say, that's impossible. Because God wouldn't put it in there if it was impossible. So we got to figure it out. And use the Scripture to figure it out. Don't turn to it for sake of time. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12 helps us here. Listen, he said there, Paul wrote there, continuing instant in prayer. He uses the word instant. You say, well, what does instant mean? When I think of instant, I think of immediately. Instant coffee, instant this, instant that. The word instant in the Bible, you go to 1 Timothy chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2. And listen, Paul told Timothy, preach the word, listen, be instant, in season, out of season. What's Paul saying to Timothy? He's saying, Timothy, you're a young preacher. One of the things you're going to have to learn to do with preaching is you're going to have to learn to step up, be counted, be present, in season and out of season. There are times when preaching will be popular and times when preaching will be unpopular. There are times when preaching will be received and when preaching will be rejected. There's times when preaching will be appreciated and there will be times when preaching will be despised. But you step up to the plate. You be at hand. You know, one of the things that managers and you guys that follow baseball a little bit, you know, even other guys on other sports besides baseball, even those of you who go to work in your supervisory positions and you have folks underneath you, you always appreciate the people who are willing to step up to the plate. They get the job done. And that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. He said, Timothy, not all the time is the wind going to be blowing in your back, at your back. Sometimes the wind is going to be blowing in your face. Not all the times will the sun be shining with a blue sky. Sometimes the storm clouds will be gathered and it'll be storming. But Timothy, you preach the word, you step up, you be consistent, you be at hand, in season, out of season, when things are going good and when things are not going good, when things are easy and when things are not easy, you preach. So what did Paul say? He said, continuing instant in prayer. You pray without ceasing means, folks, we are continuing instant in prayer. We step up. We are present. We stay current. We be in a position of prayer. We be in a condition of prayer at any time, at any place. We are ready and willing and desiring to talk to God. Be ready to pray. Always. Any place, any time. Let me give you a couple of Bible examples. You check out the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2. You understand Nehemiah was the cupbearer for the king, right? He's in charge of the king's diet. He makes sure nobody gives the king poisonous food, poisonous drink. So he's working his job. And he hears from one of his brethren that the city of Jerusalem, his home city, the gates are burned with fire, the walls are broken down, the place is in disrepair. It's awful. It is absolutely destroyed. Now what happens to Nehemiah is his heart breaks. He's serving the king. On this particular day, when he goes before the king, his heart, his face is sad. This news has caused him grief. It's caused him heartache. His heart is broken. He's not supposed to be in the king's presence with a frown on his face. That's a sermon in itself right there. He is required to be smiling. He is required. Boy, I wish we could make that a rule at church. Wouldn't that change the atmosphere at church? Huh? I can't figure people out. You know, so 1 week they're shouting, amen, next week. Folks, God's good. God's on the throne. No matter what's going on around me, He's worthy. He's got a long face. And the king picks up on it. And the king says to him, what's eating you? That's in the Hebrew. You got to study for several years. Okay? What's eating you, man? And Nehemiah said, I just received word that my city's in disrepair. And the king says, what can I do? You know what the Bible says in chapter 2, verse number 4? Here's what the Bible says. Nehemiah said, so I prayed to the God of heaven. So what did he say? I don't know. We're not told. Well, I believe this. If I can read a little into it there, I don't believe he said, time out, king, I'm punching out. Take me off the clock. I'm going to get over here in this position of prayer, turn the lights out, get on my knees, fold my hands, bow my head, close my eyes, and so now I can pray to God. I don't think that's what he did. He's serving the king's food and drink. What's eating you, man? My hometown is destroyed. What can I do for you? Oh, God, please help me. God, please help me. Help, give me the words to say right now. This whole thing, could please. He doesn't even say that verbally. It's a private prayer. It's a silent prayer. In the middle of his work day, in the middle of his responsibilities, in the middle of going about his time on the being on the clock at work doesn't prohibit you and me from praying to the God of heaven. Right in the middle of the day. So he prays to God. At the necessary moment, he stepped up and he prayed. He was at hand. He was up to the plate. He was able to pray to his God. Now, the second case is over in 2 Samuel chapter 15. Don't turn to it for sake of time. In that chapter, David's in a heap of trouble because Absalom, his son, has led a coup and has overthrown David and his leadership in as the king of Israel. All right? Now, folks, we read the Bible like it's a fairy tale sometime. What would be going on in the White House if a military coup took place and the president was overthrown? Be chaos. You're right. Be chaos. And that's exactly, there's this whirlwind of activity. People are evacuating the city. They're fearful of their lives. And David's loyal men come to him in an attempt to get him to safety. And you've got this vortex of pressure and this vortex of stuff going on all around David. And he's just trying to piece it all together. There's more than he can even put together. The Bible says he hears that Ahithophel is with Absalom, giving Absalom counsel. And right in the middle of all of this vortex of pressure and stress, he says, "Oh Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." We know what David's prayer was. We don't know what Nehemiah's prayer was. We know what David prayed. It was a public prayer. Again, people, I don't think David fell to his knees, prostrate, or lay prostrate on the ground, and turned the lights out and closed my eyes. I think as all this whirlwind of activity is going on, here is a necessary moment. Here is an opportunity for David to reach above himself, for David to reach beyond himself, for David to grab the horns of the altar of the God of heaven, and in the middle of all this, oh God, help me. Oh God, help me. Private, public, in the very middle of the day, at the necessary moment, Nehemiah prayed without ceasing and David prayed without ceasing. This is what I believe this is teaching us in chapter 5, verse number 17. At the necessary moment, anytime, anywhere, you and I have the wonderful privilege of accessing the very God of heaven. Asking Him for things. I'm going to say a couple things. Number one, I believe we should have a consistent time of prayer every day. A consistent time of prayer. I think pray without ceasing means we should be consistent on a daily basis to pray. So here's my question. Do you pray? It's a fair question. I didn't ask, do you pray for hours? I didn't ask, do you pray for a half hour? I didn't ask, do you pray for 15 minutes? Do you pray? And if not, why not? And by the way, folks, don't be glib about it. I've been told out visiting, I pray all the time. Really? I pray all the time. Now, listen, if you don't pray on a consistent daily basis, let me give you probably the number one reason why you don't. It's not because you don't want to. It's not because you wake up and start the day saying, I ain't praying today. It's because you don't have the time to do it. You haven't put it into your schedule. Can I suggest to all of us this morning that praying on a daily basis needs to put in our schedule? Needs to be plugged in. Do you pray? It's simple. We have a time to. There should be a time for us to praise God. There should be a time for us to confess our sins. There should be a time for us to ask for things to be done, to be helped, for God's help, for things that we've got to do. Ask for others. It doesn't have to be an hour long. It doesn't have to be a half. It can be. And there are some people who do pray. But it should be consistent. Let me ask you a question. Do you eat consistently? Well, pray like you eat. You don't eat all the time. Well, unless you're a teenage boy, amen, you eat all the time. I remember Danny and David Coberly were twin boys, farm boys, stout boys, Marion Avenue. They came into the youth group, I think, right as I was going out. One of them might have been in, a couple of them might have been in there before I left to come here. And I mean stout, strong. I think, was it Danny that lived here for a while, or David, Greg, one of the two. One of them lived here for a while. And we were talking one time together, me and him, one of the boys. And I don't know how we got on the subject. He said something about I'm hungry. And I said, I bet you're hungry. And he said, I have to eat. I have to eat every. And with a straight face, he said, I have to eat every 4 hours. I believe it. You have to eat every 4 hours. Now, look, do you have a scheduled time for eating? Approximately, right? You have a scheduled time for showering? When I need it. Can I give you a little wisdom? You probably need it every day. And swimming does not count. You have a scheduled time to mend. You have a scheduled time to check the stock market? I'm not against that. You got a scheduled time to check that. I got to get online, I got it on my phone right here. I check the stock, see what the Dow's doing. You got a scheduled time to do that, but you don't have a scheduled time to pray? You guys got a scheduled time to check your Facebook? No, I do it all day. Don't confess your sin here. We schedule so much into our... We schedule... And you know what's amazing, folks? Am I meddling this morning? It's okay, right? New things come along, new technologies, new things in life come along, and somehow we find a way to make time for it. Our lives are so full. I'm so busy. But somehow I make time for this. This new thing comes along. Well, I got time for that. I mean, where was Instagram a few years ago when everybody was so busy? But now we got time for Instagram. We don't have a schedule for praying. Help us, Lord, help us. And that's really why, folks, I believe why most Christians don't pray. It's not because they determine at the beginning of the day, I don't want to, I don't need to. No. Every intention, but there's no time for it. There's no time for it. I've told you before, that this is my personal little testimony. This is a quarter sheet. This particular piece is a piece of cardstock. But the size is what I'm interested in this morning. That size paper is my daily devotional prayer list. And it's not even full. But there are things on that little piece of paper kept in my devotional Bible where I'm going to pray for on a daily basis. that big. I want to pray every day. I got to get me a notebook. If you get a notebook, God bless you. That's wonderful. But I think our problem is, folks, it's not that we're rebellious and we just decide, I don't want to do that. It's that we don't schedule it. Well, if I schedule it, it just becomes meaningless. Oh, so that steak you ate was meaningless? You probably enjoyed it. When you find out who ate steak this week. That tube steak you ate. No, okay. Now, let me say, second of all, this morning, we should be consistently ready to step up to pray at any moment. Like Nehemiah, like David, we should be ready to pray at any moment of the day. I said earlier, I don't know if you caught this or not, but let me elaborate on it for just a couple of minutes here. I said earlier, we need to be in a position of prayer. You say, oh, I know what you mean. Heads bowed, eye closed, on a knee, in a dark room. That's the position. That's not what I'm talking about at all. You know the only way you and I can be in the position to pray? You want to know what that way is? If we're saved. If we have trusted Jesus Christ for our salvation, if we have given ourselves to Him by faith, trusting in His death, His burial, and His resurrection, which the Bible says is the power of God unto salvation, if we have received His finished work, we are positioned in Christ. Now that we're in Christ, we are in the position to pray. You know unsaved people who claim to pray. If they're unsaved, it's just words. Let me tell you the only prayer that God hears from an unsaved person's lips is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me. You can pray all the prayers you want, all these elaborate, you know, oratorically, just beautiful prayers. And sometimes you hear them even coming from men who act as preachers who aren't saved. Oh, God, well. They deny that Christ was buried, rose again. They can't be saved. They're just speaking words. The only way we can ever be in a position to pray is after we are saved. And when we are saved, we have access to the throne room of heaven through Jesus Christ, God's Son. My access to the throne of God is not based on my merit. My access to the throne of God is based on the merit of His Son, Jesus Christ. So because I'm saved, and if you're saved this morning because you're saved, you and I have the opportunity at any time to access the throne room of heaven. But I also said, not only should we be in the position of prayer, we should be in the condition of prayer. This is our heart being right. Say, Pastor, I pray, but sometimes I pray, I feel like I'm not even getting through to God. And there are several reasons for that, folks. It could be going on, but let me ask you a question. Are you regarding iniquity in your heart? Now, listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. Do not misunderstand me. You say, well, I can't pray if I'm a sinner, if I sin? I didn't. By the way, I quoted Scripture. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You mean if I sin, I can't pray? That's not what David said. If you think back, if you listened, I talked about this a few weeks ago on Sunday morning about sin and transgression and iniquity. Do you remember what iniquity is? Iniquity is the willful disobedience of God to God. It's where we say, I know this is wrong, but I don't. That's regarding iniquity. And when you and I have that going on in our hearts, you know what God's doing in heaven? Ain't this not listening? Aren't you glad that David didn't say, if I slip up and sin during the day, the Lord will not hear me? That's not what he said. He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I choose to willfully disobey God, then I cannot, God will not hear my prayer. So pray without ceasing means we should be in the position and the condition to consistently be ready to step up and pray at any moment, in the necessary moment. God, verbally, privately, silent, public, God, I need you. God, I love you. God, would you please? God, would you help? God, I... Anywhere, anytime. Step it up at the necessary moment. Pray without ceasing. Those of us who are a little bit older remember days before there were cell phones. Kids, there was a day when there was no cell phone. I know you thought Noah was getting a signal on the ark, but he really wasn't. He really, really wasn't getting a signal. No Verizon, no AT&T then. There was days before there was alarms on watches too. But anyway, that's okay. And the phone was on the wall. It was not in your pocket. Your cargo pant pocket. That's nice, fellas, isn't it? Isn't that nice, man? It was on the wall. And it had a cord on it. And you had a handle, a receiver, you picked it up and put this into your ear and this into your mouth, and it was attached, and you could only go so far unless you ladies got one of those long, right, spirally cords, and they used to make a little bit of a shoulder attachment that you could put on the receiver, and moms would send the kids off to school, and then maybe their mom or their grandma or their friend would call. They'd pick up the phone and put it just like this, and wash dishes, and open the refrigerator, and put things away, and clear the table, and iron, and wash, and all this stuff the whole time talking. Or listening. Right? There was a term for that. Do you remember it? Shouldering the phone. And that's what pray without ceasing is. It's getting God on the line in the morning at my consistent time of praying and then shouldering the phone the rest of the day. You know, there came a time when you had to say goodbye. Hey, I got to go. The kitchen table is cleared. The dishes are washed. The refrigerator is clean. The floor is swept. I got to go. And you hung up. But with God, you don't hang up. You get God on the phone at the beginning of the day in your consistent prayer time, and then you just shoulder the phone all day. And when you're driving down the road and somebody swerves into your lane, God help me. And when you're on the job and the boss is bearing down on you a little bit, silently, God, I need you. And you're doing your work at the computer or you're working manually with a hammer and a saw and you think about that teenage boy and he comes across your heart and you can't stop sawing. You say, God, please deal with him. And what a privilege that we have access to the throne of God all the time. Problem is, some of us never get God on the phone. Oh, until there's an emergency. Oh, God, I need you. God, he's... I better get God on the phone in the morning as I go throughout my day. That the necessary moment when I need it or when I don't need it, when I just want to say, Lord, I love you. Thank you. He's on the line. He's on the line. Pray without ceasing. One of the great privileges of prayer. Let's bow our heads together. Thank you for listening this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Please don't tune me out. I wonder who would say, Pastor, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart this morning. Maybe it's about this matter of getting a scheduled time to have a consistent daily prayer life. Just, it doesn't have to be long, folks. Just start it. Maybe it's that. In fact, let's just be serious. Let's just be kind of specific. I would say, Pastor, God spoke to my heart during that part of the message. That's what my need is. Just being flat out honest, having a teachable spirit, receiving the word with meekness this morning. I just need to schedule a time to get God on the line in the morning. Would you raise your hand if God spoke to you about that this morning? Amen, amen. Thank you. Take your hands down. Did God speak to you about another part of this matter and another part of the message today? God spoke to you about this business of pray without ceasing. Maybe you're an emergency room prayer. You say, Pastor, I don't want to be that way. I need to get God on the phone in the morning and shoulder it the rest of the day. Pray for me. The Lord spoke to me about this today. Would you lift your hand? You didn't raise your hand. I see your hand. God bless you. Amen. 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 Now let me ask the most important question. Are you saved? Are you saved? Is there anybody here, when I was talking about the fact that God won't hear the prayer of a person who's not saved, not in Christ, and your heart kind of fluttered a little bit, and you thought, man of goodness, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't have any idea. If I died right now, where I'd go? If that's you this morning, I'd like to just pray for you, not by name, just in a generic sense when I close the prayer. Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand in the air, anybody this morning, from left to right, front to back, upstairs, downstairs? I don't know that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Is there anybody here today not sure that you're sure you're saved, but you've never been baptized? You came this morning to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Now's the time to come. While we wait, we can get you ready to follow the Lord. Anybody like that this morning? You ought to obey the Lord. Some of you are putting it off. I really don't quite understand why you're putting it off. Follow Christ in believer's baptism. It's the first step of obedience to Christ. If you're here this morning, you know that you need to be a member of this church. You've talked to one of us about it, or you need to set up a time to talk, then you come. But there ought to be a move this morning. There ought to be God's people responding with meekness, receiving the word with meekness. God, you spoke to me. I need to be challenged in this area of my life, this matter of praying without ceasing. And it doesn't mean being on my knees for 24 hours in a quiet room with my head bowed and the lights off. It just means I'm in a position and condition at the necessary moment to pray. May God speak to you this morning. Why don't you do Him the honor of speaking back during invitation? Father, bless the message to every heart in this room, mine own included. All of us need to be challenged in this area. There is no doubt, God, that we need to be reminded about this, the opportunity, the wonderfulness of it. May we reach out and grab it this morning, fully embrace it, engage it, and practice it this week. Help anybody who is lost to see their condition and be saved. Thank you for these come to be baptized. Lord, move in our service today at this time in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. And the ladies are playing a song of invitation. Now's the time. God spoke to you. Now's the time for you to speak back to God. Respond to Him this morning. Be willing. You take a step. You be willing to take a step toward God, He'll take 100 steps towards you while we wait this morning. You obey the Lord. Do you have this matter settled? Do you need help with it? This is what church is for. Church is not about somebody parading around, showing off spirituality. Church is about, oh God, grow me. Oh God, build me. Oh God, challenge me. And my guess is more people need help with this than are even willing to admit it. Even willing to admit it. While we wait this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Thank you. Be seated. Thank you. Be seated this morning. Look this way quickly here that I'm going to slip back. Here's a banner day today. Some of the dear folks that are involved in our deaf ministry over here, you see them, and they have come. All three of these folks were saved and baptized here and have come to join our church today. That's Jim and Julia, Casey, Jim and Julia. Would you all stand, please? Okay, would you stand, Jim and Julia, and husband and wife, and then James Carmen. And James, if you'll stand, these folks have all been saved and baptized, and they want to join our church. And I'm thrilled that I looked over here this morning during the singing and saw them following along and just rejoiced that we have a church with folks, these dear folks, a part of it. Amen. I really mean that. So all in favor of these folks joining this morning, amen. And any opposed, like sign? No? All right, very good. Amen. We're glad you're here. Amen. 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 Now, we're going to baptize. Here's what we're going to do. If you need to catch the bus, then or help with the bus, let's get you out of here, okay? If you don't, hang tight. I'm going to baptize a couple of folks. And then, Jana, if you could have stand right here, okay? Please come by, shake hands. You say, I don't know what to say. It doesn't matter. Shake their hand. Amen. Smile. They'll get it. Amen. And to welcome them to our service this morning, our church this morning. All right, ladies. This is Eden Minkowski, and her, of course, dad and mom belong here, and many relatives here today to see her baptized. Eden, according to your public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your obedience to Him and the command of baptism, I baptize you now, our sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Buried in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection to walk in newness of life. God bless you, young lady. Come on in, Jacob. You sit this way, look this way. This is Jacob Martin. This is the youngest of Toby and Dina's grandsons. Say again publicly, I appreciate what that couple does for these three boys. To keep them in church and in school. And Jacob has been saved. And Jacob, according to your public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you now, our brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Buried in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection to walk in newness of life. That's a blessing. Let's stand together. And if the folks will stand right here, and please come by and shake hands with them this morning. God bless you. See you tonight. And you are dismissed. Bye-bye.